Thank you, Lord. Let me get my water. All right. I'm just taking my time. I hope it doesn't bother you. If it does, that's okay too. Let's pray. I feel feisty today. Jesus, we just glorify your name. You are the God of this earth, God of this place, and the God of our hearts. Lord, none of us are perfect. But Lord, what we want is our heart turned toward you. We want to hear what you tell us. We want to understand what you're saying to us. We want to believe when there's nothing to believe in but you. Lord, my heart goes out to Larry's family. And all families that have struggles in them. Lord, you're a strong tower we can run to. You have wings that you hide us under. Oh Lord, take us today where you want us to be. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory. And thank you that we're in your church. Take these few minutes and bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, I have something important to tell you this morning. And I wanted to make this announcement before we get into the message because it's something that will impact all of us in one way or another. What I want to say is, God can do the impossible. Was there any one of you here this morning who thought I was about to tell you something negative? Too often, we expect to hear bad news. Yeah. And we anticipate the worst. That response typifies the thinking in Americans, in American public, including Christians. But if our thoughts typically anticipate the worst, then today I'd like to alter our tendencies toward that negative thinking. I want to change our all too prevalent mindset with some encouraging words today. Amen. The title of my message is Pitchers, Buckets, and Barrels. Pitchers, Buckets, and Barrels. I want to turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read from the Message this morning. I love the message, and we don't use it enough. But Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin with verse 31. Are you with me? Say amen if you're going there. Okay. Romans 8, starting with verse 31. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not hopelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're setting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Wow. 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 Many times when we become ill or hear someone diagnosed with disease, we have difficulty believing that our God would allow such a thing, allow something like that to happen to one of us. Or maybe we suffer from some mistreatment, or we get taken advantage of, or we get caught in the middle of multiple life situations. Typically, these events will grab our attention so that we no longer focus on the Lord. And he's the supplier of every need. Every need. Unfortunately, the devil's quick to suggest that the awful outcomes we might face if we don't turn around. But folks, how much more peaceful we would be if we could just concentrate on the Lord and believe for his provision in trying times. Listen up, folks. God has already provided for days like this. And that's exactly what our text was just saying. Yes, sometimes things happen and we get beat up by the accuser. The truth is that we do live in this world where evil is running rampant. And we find ourselves caught up in a difficult situation, struggling with negative people. Perhaps we are battling an illness or dealing with strife in a family. There are problems in life that we can even bring on ourselves, me included. We can bring them on ourselves, but most of the time we simply have no control over what we face. Problems just come. Problems just come. Whatever the case may be, negative life events will always try to weasel their way between us and trusting our Lord. You see, the enemy hopes to encourage you to make your own plan, to make your own decisions. He wants you to contemplate, how can I overcome this mess on my own? How can I do it on my own? But let me ask you a question this morning. Who are you and whose are you? Who are you and whose are you? God spoke to me recently and he said this. Too many of my kids are hung up with their problems. They don't trust me when the problems arise. So they disregard my power and my equipping and rely only on what they can personally do about each situation. I think far too many of God's kids in times of need forget who they are and especially who they belong to. Many will say they're a child of the king, but unfortunately, they don't act like it. Entitlement is a word that we hear quite often in today's modern vernacular. Let me tell you what the dictionary tells us about entitlement. It is a fact that you have a right to something. It is a fact that you have a right to something. It goes on to say prerogative, claim, title, license, the amount to which a person has a right, annual leave entitlement, allowance, allocation, allotment, quota, ration, grant, limit, your annual holiday entitlement, the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. No wonder kids today seem to have a sense of entitlement. Yeah. Amen. But then who doesn't? Who doesn't? However, do you get weary of hearing people say they are entitled to something? Amen. When most often these folks are not deserving at all. They haven't earned what they're asking for. However, with God, it's different. It's different. You don't have to earn things. You don't have to earn things. You are entitled simply because you are His kid. And even though you haven't earned your entitlement, Jesus has paid the full price for whatever you need. Whatever you need. So you have become entitled, listen to me, you have become entitled to every one of His blessings. Every one of His promises. Sad to say, many of God's children and even the church in general have lost their inherent right to lay hold of all that God has purchased. Now, hear me please. God declares that everything that is over my head is still under His feet. God says I can do all things through Christ, who will give me the strength necessary. God promises that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And God admits that with man nothing is possible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? Amen. 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 Listen to the words of this hymn. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Beautiful hymn. The song is full of truth. It's full of truth. When the pitfalls of life come, they must all be surrendered to Jesus. And folks, all means all. All means all. Even down to the little bits and pieces that we think we can easily resolve by ourselves. The all needs to be surrendered. So often we allow the little bits and pieces to accumulate, forming layers of distraction and focus stealers. If we're not careful, the negative situations become a point of concentration. It's what we think about. It's what's on our mind. And when we dwell on them, and we dwell on them, and we dwell on them. I just read where the generation that came after me is now twice as depressed as my generation. And they're fearful that the generation after them is even more depressed. The devil is manipulating us so that we are going crazy. Crazy. Folks, who are we and to whom do we belong? Give you a second to think about that. Seems to be human nature. When we're going through a rough patch or hurting because of some attack, we tend to look back at our past when things seemed a little better. When I was young, I was lightning quick, strong, able to do most anything I set my mind to. Now, all the pains, the forgetfulness, the energy level, the inability to work with my crippled hands, inability to work with my mind. Folks, if there's one thing we should avoid doing, it's longing for the way it was in the past. I want to tell you something. You have forgotten what it's really like back then. Yesterdays were never as good as we remember. So we need to allow the Lord to fashion our mindset from one of self-sufficiency to one that will instantly go to Him. Someone once said, "The man of the present acts prudently so as not to endanger the future." Let me repeat that. That is a good quote. The man of the present acts prudently so as not to endanger the future. The Lord would have me remind you of who you are and to whom you belong and that your inheritance is waiting for you. That inheritance is ongoing. And it's available to you daily, daily, for your problem solving, and as equally important, for your provision. We need to stand up, put on our I am who He says I am boots, and start walking in what we've been given, walking in our entitlement. If you're looking at a glass half empty this morning, please realize that Jesus went to the mat with the devil. He won your victory by pinning death, hell, and all of your problems to that same mat so that you could be blessed in the natural, having pitchers, buckets, and barrels of spiritually rich living water. Amen. Amen? Stop the mentality of having a glass half empty. Start realizing you have unlimited access to God's Niagara Falls-sized portion. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Look to the future, saints. God's provision and entitlement are ahead of us, not behind us. They're ahead of us. Let's go out of the past. Let's recognize the commitment God made to us, and let's realize that He has assured you of an abundant future. Amen? All of us. Every one of us as child of God. You have something coming to you, which is great. All right? Now, I want to read this again. Now that I give you a preview, I want to read this again. Romans 8, starting in verse 31 in the message. So what do you think? Good question. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Larry, you hear that? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Give God a hand this morning. Jesus overcame everything, folks, everything that would ever stand against us. Everything. It was His love for us that conquered them all without question. So if Jesus is your Savior this morning, then He's also your conquering hero. Jesus has taken His rightful position in heaven, and now He lives to bless you, protect you, give to you, heal you, and constantly help you succeed in everyday life. Now, does Satan badger you by continually reminding you of some former sin which prevents you from looking above for your help? Listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus cannot forgive you any more than you have already been forgiven. He has forgiven you. Let me tell you a truth. God is not interested in your past. He doesn't want to see the syndicated reruns. He refuses to remember that junk because He has forgiven you. Many times on our favorite TV shows, it begins by reviewing a few segments of the previous episode. This is done as a reminder to help you get the gist of what's going to happen this week. Amen? You get brought up to speed. But may I remind you, folks, our spiritual lives do not operate in that way. And thank the Lord that they don't. Because each day is a new day with new blessings that God has ordained for us. Brand new blessings. The abundant life that God has planned for us does not depend on what happened yesterday or even today. And again, thank God that it doesn't. Amen. Amen. Do you know that God could see all of your yesterdays? He could review your life 2 weeks ago. He could look at your life 10 hours ago, even 5 minutes ago. But what he sees is the blood of Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus. And folks, Jesus' blood covers it all. Covers everything. Amen. Jesus' sacrifice wiped the slate clean, erasing every one of the mistakes, and he did it once and for all. He's not going to do it again. It's covered. God spends his time looking at your future, because to him, your past is no more. He threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. I love that sea. If God's love is such that he didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us by sending us his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't or couldn't do for us? Not a thing. Answer's abundantly clear. There is nothing God will not do, no place God will not go, to rescue one of his kids. Now, let me tell you about something we can do. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 15, I'm going to read this in the message again. It says, be prepared. What can we do? We can be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you will still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. That's what you can do. His word has been given to renew your mind, to change your pessimistic outlook. The word of God has all the answers. Has all the answers, brothers and sisters. Every one of them. The love and forgiveness Jesus has given us and offered to everyone has its privileges. Freedom from any and all condemnation is one of them. Condemnation is just another tool of the enemy that Jesus pinned to the mat when he conquered the devil in the battle of the ages. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, in the New King James, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do is that it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. The law couldn't keep us on the straight and narrow. Our works haven't helped us in the past. These efforts are useless. Laws are given for guidance. God's law condemns, but God's grace redeems. Grace would do what the law could not do, to establish a new and abiding relationship of love and forgiveness to all who believe. Amen. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 and 18, I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. So, folks, it's dead as a doornail. The old person's dead as a doornail. Quit trying to give it CPR. Okay, it's dead as a doornail. And then it goes on and says, behold, the fresh and new has come. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Verse 18 says, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. A farmer went to his banker and announced that he had some bad news and good news. First, the bad news. Well, said the farmer, I can't make my mortgage payments. And the crop loan I've taken out for the past 10 years, I can't pay that off either. Not only that, I won't be able to pay you the couple hundred thousand I still have outstanding on my tractors and other equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm and turn it all over to you for whatever you can salvage out of it. Silence prevailed for a minute. And then the banker said, what's the good news? The good news is that I'm going to keep on banking with you, said the farmer. Spiritually speaking, far too many Christians are like this farmer. They can't do this. They can't do that. And they accept defeat that resulted from their old ways and negative experiences of the past. Brothers and sisters, we need to embrace the new, the benefits Jesus has brought into our lives, and the Holy Spirit who has equipped us to live victoriously. We must understand what God has for us. So what do you think? With God on our side, let me ask you, how can we lose? How can we lose? I want to say this again. If you're looking at a glass half empty this morning, please realize that Jesus went to the mat with the devil and won the victory by pinning death, hell, and your problems to that same mat so that you could have pitchers, buckets, and barrels of spiritually rich living water. Is there anything that he wouldn't do for us? No. No. God is ready. Are you ready for what God's love will do for you? He wants you to start walking in his blessings. Are you ready to start walking in his blessings? Then don't ever let your past keep you from your future. God's not going to do it, and neither should you. Don't let your personal inadequacies keep you from trusting and taking steps of faith. It's time to come over to God's way of thinking. God thinks of you as the head and not the tail. He thinks of you as being on the top and not on the bottom. He thinks of you as abundantly blessed, not in need. He thinks of you as healed and whole, not sick and troubled. He thinks of you as an overcomer, not as an underachiever. God thinks of you in the very same way he thinks of his own son, Jesus. Let's turn the page on our failures, folks. Let's turn the page. and once and for all cross over to God's marvelous and miraculous way of thinking. With God on our side, how can we lose? How can we lose? Now, let me say this again. If you're looking at a glass half empty this morning, please realize that Jesus went to the mat with the devil and won the victory by pinning death, hell, and every one of your problems to that same mat so that you could have pitchers and buckets and barrels of spiritually rich living water. Paul Harvey used to say, you know what the news is. Now it's time for the rest of the story. A lot of people in here never heard of Paul Harvey before. And a lot that have. Sometimes we tend to envision the things we encounter as enormous obstacles. And we become paranoid and then, listen to me, paralyzed. One day we will all be held accountable for how we applied that which God so abundantly supplied us. Did we really use the gifts and the power of God to their fullest? Did we take advantage of everything He had made available for our victory? Only you can stifle the plan of God. Only you and me. Only you can hinder the blessings from operating in your life. And if you fail to use what God has so freely given, then not only will you suffer, but those around you will never experience the blessings that could ultimately spill into their lives. I want you to learn to walk in the blessings of the Lord and realize that you are worthy of all of them. This is one of the hardest battles I've ever fought. I am worthy of every blessing God has. Not because of me, because of what's been done by Jesus. Every promise in the book is yours. Every promise. So get your nose out of the dirt. Lift your head up high. Look defeat right in the eye and acknowledge that you are a child of the King. You are a child of the King. Years ago, there was a book named King's Kids. Harold, somebody wrote it. Can't remember his last name. What a book of deliverance. You are a King's Kid. You're royalty. You claim every part of your inheritance. Make each blessing yours today. And folks, share it. Share it. Share the blessings. Why, Brother Jerry? Because Luke 6:38 in the New Living says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and pouring into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Always be a giver. Always be a giver. I don't have anything to give. You got something to give. I want you to be encouraged today, folks. God can solve any problem because He's not bound by human limitations. He's not limited by time. God can do in an instant what would normally take years. Amen. He can speed up the healing process. I love this. He can accelerate your harvest so that you'll be sowing with one hand and reaping with the other hand. Amen? He's not limited by lack. Whatever Satan has taken from you, God can restore and even more. Amen. God is not limited by the enemy. So how does God deal with Satan's power? By increasing yours. By increasing yours. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So use God's word and God's power to stand up to the devil. You will only be limited by your own doubt. Your own doubt, which is lack of faith. Refuse to doubt, brothers and sisters. Refuse to doubt. By faith, lay hold of all that God has provided for your victory. Rise up. God, nothing is impossible for you. I want you all to say this with me. Say, God, nothing is impossible for you. Say this. Put that in my spirit, God.
Put that in my spirit, God.
Let me go to you first. My mind's tired of trying to figure things out. And every time, you don't have to repeat this, but... Every time I do it on my own, I'm a loser. Somehow, some way, it won't be as good as it could have been. Now, if I'm lying, I'm dying, folks. But every time I trust God, then I'm the winner. I'm victorious. I want you to take that with you today. Because I know the minute you walk out this door, you have someone that will attack you in some way or fashion or form. And what are you going to do? You trust God. Take it to Him and leave it there. Someone once told me, when you give God something, don't give it to him with an open hand like this. Give it to him like that. You know, clench it in your hand, release it. Because if you hold it like that, you won't, it's right there. It's not going to leave your hand. You're going to hang on to it. But if you drop it in his hand, it's gone. Right? It's gone. He's got it. That's what we need to do. Every problem. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Brother Jerry, you don't know what I'm doing, what I'm going through. I don't care. I care, but I don't care. Give it to God. Give it to God. He's our solution. Why do you write that word? So we could have something to believe, something to trust in, something to hope for, something to rely on, a blessing to hang on to. How many times have we heard things like testimonies of missionaries where they're down to their last little bit of flour and they just pray, God, something's got to happen. And, you know, an 18-wheeler back up with a load of flour in it. You know, I'm exaggerating there, but it comes. Last minute, maybe, but it comes. His timing's always perfect, even if it's the last second.
Pastor, can
Sure.
This situation with the job that we prayed for coming today, the last few days at work, it's been still on my plan of attack. And Saturday, one of the other coworkers came back to my department and she said that the store manager had sent her back there. And I couldn't figure out why, because it was just me and we weren't really all that busy. There was an assistant manager over there. He got off the phone and he said, "Oh yeah, he wants to see you." And I'm thinking, okay, something's going on. So I'm like, "All right, Lord, whatever this is that I have to go to the store manager's office, I need you to take care of. If it's to protect my job, to protect whatever, if I'm supposed to stay here or you got something better, provide that. But you take care of this." So I walked in there and I got told that he had 4 complaints. First he said in that day, which I'd only had 8 customers, so it didn't make sense. But anyway, then he said for the week. A letter of negativity about me was sent to the president of the company. And so he put an official warning in my record. So I was like, okay. So I walked out back to my department. I was like, okay, Lord, this is in your hands. It belongs to you, not to me. It's, if you want me here, this will pass. If not, show me where you want me to go. So I get back to my department, you know, prayed about it, tried, you know, gave it to him, went on about my job. Situation where we weren't going to have a cashier. Another assistant support manager had to come and help. For 2 hours, we were rushed, and I was trying to train her, train a technician to be a cashier. Afterwards, she gave me praise. And right after that, another gentleman I used to work for, his stepdad came in, godly man. He had told me about a year ago, and I think we had prayed for it about that job opportunity then. This is, and he handed me a paper with a website and a job title for me to go put on. When I got home yesterday, that job website was under maintenance, but I prayed over that, and I have faith that when I get home, that job website is going to be fixed. Because it was, like I said, it was about 2 or 3, 4 o'clock somewhere before I got off work. He brought that to me. So that told me my answer when I prayed to God before I went into that meeting. God's telling me he wants me somewhere else, and he's given it to me because I trusted him and had faith in him and gave it to him before I even walked in. He's taking care of it, and we prayed for it today. I know that's from God, and I know he's going to give me the favor for that. Amen. But you've got to give it to him first and then trust in him that he's going to take care of it. Give it and let go, like you said. And that's what I did.
Thank you, Rosie. She said it. You got to give it to him first. He'll take it, gladly take it, and he's got shoulders big enough to carry it. He's got arms long enough to wrap around you. One of the things, I guess, that helped me in my Christian walk more than others is when I realized what he wants for me is the best. That's easy to say, but wrap your head around it. What he wants me to do, what he puts me into, how he guides me is because he wants me to have the best. He'll take care of us, folks. He'll take care of us. He's not the Old Testament God that's pointing a finger at us anymore. He took care of that image when he sent his son. Took care of the law when he sent his son. So it's not a God of discipline. It's a God of love. It's not a God that's going to slap your hand if you do something wrong. It's a God that's going to hug your neck and help you. But we go to Him first. I'll tell this because He's gone. Elwan, one Sunday, he got a phone call. I don't remember if it was during the church service or after, but that phone call, he lost his job. And Mary went to pieces. But Elwan didn't. He just, okay, God, it's yours. That afternoon, he got another phone call. He was reinstated and got a raise. Huh? I mean, that's the truth. That's honest to God, truth. And folks, that's what He wants for us. But He could have gone to pieces just like His wife did. They were struggling financially back then. That job was a lot more than just a paycheck. It was their future. Okay, God, it's yours. Did I encourage you today?
Yes.
I hope so.
Pastor?
Yeah. Your testimony went with this.
My dad would tell you if he was here, he should make himself heard. But you kind of negated what you said about the semi backing up with the flower. And we had an experience when I was about 4 years old. We went from Colorado to California through the southern route, the desert, and lost a hose. And those roads were not trafficked as much as they are now. And it was a desperate situation. They had four under about 6 years old, well, six and under. And mechanic, he can fix about anything. And he fixed it, you know, was able to repair. But he had no water to put back in the radiator. And he's sitting there thinking what he's going to do, how they're going to get out of this. And he looks up, and over the hill is an army convoy coming down. Just coming, you know, he just barely sees the thing starting over. And they stop. And the guy asks him if he needs help. And he says, well, I got the problem fixed, but I don't have
maize water.
Water to put in it. He says, oh, you don't have any problem at all. You see all those trucks? That's all they've got in them. God is not limited.
That's right.
In how much He brings to us to meet our needs.
That's right.
I mean, way more.
Pitchers, buckets, and barrels, right?
Pitchers, buckets, barrels,
and trucks. Praise God. Let's stand together and we'll pray.